Forever young, I wanna be forever young. Fucking Napoleon Dynamite ruined that. Ruined it.
Oh, that's okay. How's it sound? Bad?
Yeah, it sounds pretty bad.
Does it really? Do you think if I used the headset thing, you know, like the wired one, maybe that's better?
You can give it a go. I don't know if it'll sound any different, honestly.
All right, hold on.
I have a computer, but not a cable to charge it.
I don't. Why are you repeating that?
I think it's a weird thing. I'm repeating it so people listening know what the hell's going on.
Oh.
But it's a weird, yeah. It's a weird thing.
I mean, I have a dead computer. That's all.
Here's your computer.
Yeah. All right, how's that sound?
That sounds better.
Does it?
Yeah, it actually sounds a little bit better than the other one.
All right, cool. I'll keep my hair off the mic.
Yeah, I think you have to be careful about moving around too much.
Yeah, it goes like...
But you can probably just leave it there. You don't have to hold it up.
Okay. Yeah, this sounds okay?
Yeah.
Is it better if it's here?
It is, but you know, when I sit there holding it like that for the whole...
I don't mind.
For the whole ep.
For the entire ep. I don't mind.
Forever young.
I wanna be.
I don't like the... I was singing this before you came in when I was recording. And I said, fuck Napoleon Dynamite. Ruined that song.
Oh, I don't even think about it from Napoleon Dynamite. I think about it from Parks and Rec.
Oh my God.
When Aziz Ansari is on hold and he's singing it. Forever young.
Oh my God. Now, I prefer Napoleon Dynamite now, bringing that song back to prominence. The reason it bothered me is because I knew it. I liked it. And
yeah,
then that movie came out and everyone had to have it on their CD burned playlist. I put it on there.
They did? Were you friends with a bunch of people that were like Napoleon Dynamite heads?
I just feel like that movie was everywhere. I don't think that they were Napoleon Dynamite heads. But when that came out, you know, MTV was having their heyday of original movies. I don't know if Election came out around that same time.
But I don't think so. Election was before Napoleon Dynamite.
Well, the point is MTV had a decent run of movies that did some stuff. Mm-hmm. They didn't do much, but I mean, you would think, oh, MTV, what is this going? And then it was surprising. It's a guy that was pretty good. In Napoleon Dynamite, I feel like people were quoting it nonstop and speaking in that stupid voice.
And like sent like vote for Pedro shirts.
Yeah, see? It was everywhere.
Yeah.
And
Gosh or whatever. I think I don't even know if that's the right quote.
Yeah, but Aziz, the guy who's not funny at all, who thinks he is. My God.
I saw some of his stand up and I thought it was kind of funny. He talked about how ghosts are always like Victorian era children or something instead of being like modern ghosts, and then there's some ghost haunting you in your bedroom and he says like, what's your Wi-Fi password?
Yeah, I can't get past the fact that he's full of himself.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a cool dude. He's like friends with chefs, like New York chefs. And
well, is he a foodie?
I feel like that's a weird... Yeah, he is. And I think that's a weird sort of crowd to be associated with, unless you're like on the more subversive side, like a Anthony Bourdain and that friend of his that's really sad he died.
Yeah, I guess I don't know what his motivation there is. Maybe he's just into the food when he wants to be close to the chefs to try to get the free food so he can impress people. And I got inside access to this restaurant as if that means something.
Well, because, yeah, chefs are their own world of celebrity.
Yeah, which is a shame. They shouldn't be. I'm not saying it's not a talent or a skill or there shouldn't be notoriety or you shouldn't get, praise from people that you work with. But the fact celebrity comes along with it. No, not everything needs to be celebrity. People, because then what you have is you have people who become chefs because they want to be celebrities, not because they want to be chefs.
Well, I think that is weeded out pretty quickly. I mean, that's like saying I want to be in the NFL so I can be famous. It's like, well, good luck, because you ain't going to make it in the NFL. And if you do, you have to be more interested in doing well than being famous.
It's
and
a little like
chefs are the same way.
It's a little different.
You can't do that lifestyle.
But there are limited.
It's not like a calling.
Now, there are a limited number of spots in the NFL. So that in itself weeds a lot of people out, even a lot of really good people. And there is something, I'm not saying practice doesn't get you places. You can certainly become better at a sport, but I think a lot of it is natural ability. Whereas cooking, I'm not saying that there's not natural ability, but I think there's a wider range for you to learn the skill. So if you wanted to dedicate yourself to it, you could also become pretty good and then become a celebrity chef.
Oh, I think the skill part is different than the lifestyle part. The lifestyle that you have to dedicate yourself to as a chef is insane. The hours, the schedule itself.
No, so you're saying people give up.
It's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, maybe more so these days since there are easier ways to become a celebrity just by doing nothing. So maybe yeah. You're right in the sense that people don't want to put in the work. Like, I can just sit around and post some Instagram pictures.
Of the food that I'm practicing, that I'm getting better at.
Yeah, not everyone can be a famous online presence like me with my new Reddit account. Got 18,000 upvotes on a comment.
I'm really into it.
I'm bored with it already.
The human brain gets used to things very quickly.
It's very boring. I don't know my Reddit account, my real one, I used to have a throwaway that I would post here and there. But the real one that I created is only 43 days old, and I'm tired of it already.
Wow.
But I got, I got the big response. And then someone had posted a picture yesterday with some octopus eggs. They were lifting something up, and there were some octopus eggs, and it said mothers down below guarding the eggs. And the way it was phrased, it made me think of an actual, like the guy's mother was down there. And so I just made a comment referring to that, and that did pretty well. And then somebody, I made a specific scenario about mother sitting down there crocheting and playing Sudoku. And then someone took a screenshot and posted me on Oddly Specific.
Oh, nice.
I'm famous.
Cross-referenced. You know, it's funny. You saw something about octopus eggs because just the other day, I wonder when this happened, because just the other day I was like, how are octopus babies born? Are they born live? Are there eggs? What do they look like when they're born? Do they like change? You know, so it's funny. That's like that. That's the magnet, the entanglement stuff again.
Yeah, it's a connection to the universe I talked about.
Yeah.
The guy that, you know, people know Alan, who listened to the Von Hessler Doctrine, who used to run the board for the show. And I was talking to one of my friends the other day about him because he also knew Alan. And I hadn't talked to Alan in almost a year. And as I'm talking about him, as I'm mentioning his name to my friend, he texts me.
It's amazing.
It's a strange, interconnected universe. Who knows?
It really is. Because who knows? That's really what it is. It's so unimaginable that who knows?
Unless
I saw this thing today where like what we see as far as like the electromagnetic field is only the visual, obviously. And then within that visual, we're still only seeing a small percentage of that because it's just whatever our eyes can, you know, figure out or see or whatever. But so when we try and explore the universe, we're like blind.
It's a simulation. Only one of us is real. Yeah. Who is it?
I think it's me.
That's why that's what you would say if it's real for me. And you're trying to throw me off, so I don't get it.
But I knew that you would say that, and so I didn't say what you think I would have said.
That's the thing. There's no way to prove. There's no way to prove that you're an actual separate entity capable of thinking and making decisions and not acting within the rules of a simulation. I cannot prove that you are an actual human, just as you cannot prove that to me.
Yeah. I mean, people have those little theories about being in a, what's it called? A Truman Show world.
Yeah. But see, this is the celebrity shit. This is where they're in the Truman World, but then it's a show. It can't just be a thing that's happening, but there's an audience. I'm in my own little movie.
Oh, no, no, no. I don't think that they were in this case, I don't think they were referencing an audience, but they were saying that it was like a simulation.
It could be. I do think that it could possibly be a simulation. And then the things that connect that seemingly are crazy.
Oh, he's talking about Alan. Alan, send him a text. And
do
it's because he loves this romantic idea of the world. So send him this so that it'll be confirmed.
But I feel like there's something. I don't know what it is, but so let's say we are our own. It's not a simulation, or it is a simulation, but you can exist. There's multiple conscious beings in the simulation. Something somewhere connected the two of us in that moment so that he sent me a text.
Yes, I know. Like I said, everything is so huge, and we are, not only do we barely understand it, but we probably couldn't understand it if we tried. You know, like that thing about like a dog trying to explain the internet. Like that's where we are as far as, you know, understanding everything. So why wouldn't that be an option? That there is some sort of like, you know, connectedness or entanglement, you know, or dimensional something. Who knows? I don't know. You can't say like, no, it's not that. Come on.
I think some of this will come up in the actual episode if we're talking about memory today.
Uh-huh.
That's what we're doing, right? Okay, so we can get into it. Forever young. Do you really want to live forever? Forever. If it's a simulation, you could possibly live forever until the battery on the computer that runs the simulation dies because there's no cord.
Welcome to... Welcome to One Topic, where we stick to one topic. My name is Autumn Fisher.
My name is Greg Russ. Autumn is on a head... What is this? This is the old school wired Apple earbuds.
Earbuds. Not AirPods.
No, don't you dare call the earbuds AirPods, because AirPods are a luxury item and people who have AirPods don't want to be lumped in with people who have earbuds.
Mm-mm. You're still using a wired connection to your phone. What a loser.
I, for the longest time, refused to take the jump and get the AirPods or any kind of wireless Bluetooth ear listening device until a friend of mine gave me a pair for my birthday. And I do use them.
Yeah, they're the greatest.
They're nice. And I'm not going to deny that I don't enjoy them. I'm not going to deny that I do enjoy them. But I think I still have the wired if they weren't given to me as a gift.
Yeah.
Because...
Oh, you mean you would still use that? You wouldn't switch over?
No, I wouldn't switch over. I just let that wired dangle. If I was on the train, I'd just let it hang.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the resistance was. I feel as though it was because it became a status symbol of some sort.
I think it was at first, and then everyone started using them, so it became less of a status symbol. I guess now if you have the little ones, like the pros, then maybe that's more of a status symbol.
Yeah, when the pores have something, then you know. Status. Status is dead.
Yeah.
The pores have Louis Vuitton.
Vuitton.
Coach. People don't like...
Kate Spade.
People, they don't like when I do that. It's just making fun. It's deconstructing the fact that these things don't mean anything. Mm-hmm. Sure, the quality is a bit better, but is it the price in line with the better build? No, it's not. So people are paying for the name. So when you just change the name, it's like, what? It's like, yeah. Exactly. That's Louis Vuitton.
You can't change Birkin. I don't think you can change its name.
Oh, that's if you're going to make a designer brand, that should be one of the things you guard against. Can the name be changed?
Yeah. Bursts. If you make the, is it B-U-R-K-I-N?
I'm trying to look. Birkin.
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 Birkin. You'll have the Birkin bag. It is $120,000.
Beer can. That's what I would call it. The beer can.
Okay, good. Good job. Oh, how about Louboutins?
I don't know what those are.
Those are the red bottom shoes that cost like $600 for one of the shoes. It's like $1,200 shoes.
I have zero clue what those are. I've never heard of those in my life.
Red bottoms?
I've never heard. What are they called again?
Louboutins.
So not to
you remember that Cardi B song? She's like, these is red bottoms. These is bloody shoes.
Oh, here they are. I'm looking. That's their signature style, huh? I got the red bottom. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people will like get some dupes, you know, and like paint the bottom red so that it looks like they've got Louboutins on.
Good. That's what I would do. I'd spray paint it. I'd make sure it was the worst paint job in the world. It's like when I used to wear Abercrombie and Fitch shirts, and there was just a white t-shirt, and then I would draw on it with a Sharpie, Abercrombie.
I feel like that's something they would sell.
At some point, I'd stop paying attention. But in high school, for whatever reason, Abercrombie was it.
It really was. I remember going to Abercrombie. I remember going to Abercrombie with my dad and trying on the jeans. And, you know, it was the hellscape of the mid-90s, where every jean was that super low rise that no girl really looked good in unless you were a very specific shape. And I found some jeans that were decent, and they were like $50 or something, and my dad was not interested in paying that much for jeans.
Yeah, which now you think about it, $50 really isn't that much for jeans.
No, I would still really make sure I loved them before I bought them, because I'm still at Old Navy, you know, looking for like $30 jeans.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I won't wear the Old Navy jeans.
They suck.
Old Navy t-shirts nonstop. I've got a closet full of probably 70.
I have 70 t-shirts and 100 socks.
Well, the t-shirts are good. I just like solid tees. Sometimes I'll go with a stripe, but nothing with graphic.
And 60 pairs of pants, and I wear two.
Well, that's the thing with pants is I don't have 60 pair. I probably have 10, maybe 12.
I bet you have more than 12.
But I go one level up from Old Navy. I'll wear Gap.
Gap.
I'll wear Gap jeans.
How are they real? Do you think they're really different?
No, I don't think they're any different.
They're both made in like Indonesia or wherever the fuck they're made.
They add an extra stitch onto one. Look, it's better made. It's a. It's quality of Louis Vuitton.
Ooh, how about the beer can?
No, not quite the beer can.
The thing with Old Navy jeans, I feel like they're probably the same quality as Gap, but the consistency is not there. I can get a pair of Old Navy jeans at a size 8 that fit me well, and then I'm barely squeezing into a size 10. Of the same pair of jeans. Like if you're looking at jeans there, you have to like go all around the orbit of what size you think you are, because you never know. It just depends on that jean. They all have their own little quirk.
That's interesting, but I feel like women's jeans in general are all over the place. Yes, when you're buying the same brand, you would expect there to be consistency. Yeah.
I've been like a size 8 and I've picked up a size 6 just because it was there and I couldn't find my size. And I would fit into it. And then I would have another size 6 that I couldn't button. Do you know what I mean? Like it was, it's so stupid. So that's why I like, I don't know. Old Navy's annoying.
Old Navy. I remember. Well, we can set this up. And today's topic is memory. Is it memory? We're not.
Yeah, because I don't want to talk about memories.
No, even though that's like what we're doing. Thing. That's what we're doing right now. Memories would just be like, remember when Old Navy first came on the scene and they had that Adirondack jacket that folded up into its own front pouch?
I don't remember that.
Man, that thing was all over. That was top notch. It was really crappy. That was very thin. It didn't protect.
I bet.
It didn't protect.
If it can fit in its own, it's like those little, like those reusable bags that people have that turn into a strawberry.
Yeah.
It's probably that thin, right?
It's very similar to that. And then the carpenter jeans. Got to get myself some carps.
Oh, man. Everybody. Not just jeans, but like the carpenter pants with that like belt That little loop that was for like a hammer.
Yeah, that's right.
And everybody looked so chunky in them. That was the style.
That was you had to carry your hammer around, and then your braided belt.
Oof. And the little metal piece that hangs, that's like attached to the end of the braided belt that you leave long and you hang down.
Yeah.
That's like a little bit of like a penis or something.
Yeah, it hangs down in between your legs.
Women will be reminded of dicks.
Apparently, shoelace belts are back in style.
What are shoelace belts?
Where you just take a shoelace, an actual shoelace, and you tie it around your waist. You put it through the loops.
What? Like a country farmer to hold up his pants? Like a rope?
This was a thing that people did, especially in the 80s. And then at some point...
I don't remember that.
At some point...
I don't remember that.
Somebody said it was tied to the skater movement, but I don't remember it being part of that.
No, skaters didn't do that.
No, I don't remember that either, but that was something.
It wasn't about a belt with skaters. It was about the shoes.
Airwalks.
And the pants. Yeah, airwalks and the pants.
What were the pants?
And if you were a skater girl, then you wore big pants and like a tiny shirt. That was tight. That was my look.
Oh boy, what a time. Anyway, yeah. Memory.
I remember that time.
Not memories. This isn't a trip down memory lane. You just wanted to talk about memory in general.
Yeah, because I think it's interesting how one person's experience of something can differ so much from another's. Even though you may have experienced it at the same time, I think it's interesting that it's hard. Like, I wanted to see your perspective on growing up and specific memories from when you were a kid. Because you know how, like, people will say if you have trauma, then sometimes you don't remember your childhood. And, I mean, I remember my childhood, but I don't feel like I don't know how much I remember.
Well, in general... It's hard for me to talk to this because I remember very specific things about all times of my life.
Yeah.
I can recall details to events or shared experiences, and people say, whoa, how do you remember this? I can remember things that were said, things that were eaten, clothes that were worn, for whatever reason. And when other people have an inability to do that, it makes me wonder. It's like, what are you remembering?
Well, that's me. I don't have that type of memory. My friend Anna is the same way as you. Like, she'll remember dates and specific things. And I had to ask her specific questions about my past so that I would know like a date that something happened. Like, when I'm filling out, you know, I don't know, like a form or something, and it asks you like, who's your employer, you know, the month and the year of how long you've been an employee, I have barely an idea of when that was.
Well, some of that for me can be tied to my obsession with the passage of time, an OCD perspective on the world. And I've got constant markers laid everywhere. So something like that, because it's always on top of mind. I can tell you when I started specific jobs or how long I was at a job or how long I lived somewhere, how long I had a relationship. These things don't go too, you know, they don't disappear too much. They're there, easy access in my brain. And when someone like you has an inability to do it, then maybe I'm wrong in attaching meaning to it, because surely a lot of this is not meaningful. But when I talk about these things, they're big events. They're important events in my life quite often. And so to be able to recall them makes sense. It's like, yeah, of course I can tell you what was happening, because that meant something to me. And when people don't do that, that's when I question, like, what do you take from anything? What's the point of having experiences? Because experiences are fleeting. They're in the moment, then they're gone. And if you have no memory of them, or, you know, a memory stirs the feelings. I think quite often, what are memories? You can remember information, and that's more logical. But when we're talking
about... It's more like data.
Yeah. And
yeah.
People have trivia locked away in their brain, and that's a totally different type of memory. And I feel as though I'm pretty good at that also. My lack of trivial knowledge is just sometimes I didn't expose myself to, like, pop culture, for example, or some other things. I shielded myself from it because I was tired of people saying, this is so great, or you would really like the, who now, who you to tell me I would like this. You're probably right. But then I'll then if there's any correlation, if I say something and people say, you got it from that. It's like, nope, I didn't see it. So that was my way to protect myself from that. Pretty stupid. But you know, a lot of times, what are memories? They're feelings. They take you back to this moment in time. And what do you remember? The way you felt or what it meant to you in that moment. So when people look, oh, I don't know. It's like, why are you doing anything then? Why are you doing anything if you can't think back on it and pull something out of it that takes you, that stirs a feeling?
I mean, when I think back to me being a kid, I feel like a lot of what I think about are videos of me as a kid, as opposed to real memories. You know, like I would have to really sit and really think about what is a memory that I have that isn't something I've seen before or talked about with my parents before, or a story that has been told about me.
I'm trying to let you think of something.
Well, and as far as data is concerned, like I barely have any of that. I feel like I've gotten better about that since my awakening. I think that before, maybe I was busy, like my brain was busy doing other things instead of, you know, being more, I always say like my feet are on the ground now, I feel. And so I think that I'm better about data, like dates and times and things. But I mean, I'll think back to a time like, when did that happen? It was warm outside, you know, or it was cold. I was wearing a jacket. And so it must have been like in the fall, you know, like I don't have, you know, but what year was it? I don't know.
Yeah. So what are your memories? I know you say that you can't really recall things that haven't been told to you or you haven't been able to see yourself. At its most basic, memories are, you know, an organization and storage of data, all types of data. But you're getting information, information's coming in, and you're just storing it. It's like, okay, I'll take this and I'll file this here and I'll file that there and this is going to be filed here. So I understand that that is an ability that we have no control over, and so there's probably quite the range of it. I guess there are exercises you can do to improve your memory, but that... it's mostly just like pay a little more attention and repeat something.
Well, and I don't have a bad memory, you know, like short-term memory. You know, I was a waitress and could get people's orders right, you know, without writing all of it down.
Oh, boy. Oh, my. I mean, if you could get it right, good for you.
No, I could. I didn't. I mean, as a cocktail waitress, that was no problem. It was just a practice, you know, that it took. And people typically order similar things, you know, so that wasn't as hard. But as a waitress, like for food, there were things that you had to write down. But if it was like a table of two, that was no problem. You didn't have to write that shit down.
You would have stirred stress. Again, something's going to come back wrong. Still going to the bodega and getting a sandwich. And the guy, you know, especially the new one, he's like, you don't even know me yet. You don't even know what I get. But he's gotten it right so far. So some people are good at that, and I am bad at it. Like short-term memory, I'm not. I can look at something, let's say I have a tab open on the internet and there's some information I need to remember to go to another tab or notes and write down. I will forget it immediately. Names, awful with. I have zero ability.
Me too. I've gotten better about that, though. Because what I was doing with names, I think before, I thought I was just someone who wasn't good at learning names. And just was like chalking that up to like, that's just me. I can't do anything about it. But now I think that what was happening before was like, here I am, a person meeting someone for the first time. Remember their name, you know, instead of being in the real moment and like experiencing them telling me their name and me taking that in.
Yeah. And I think that's something that you can improve on. Short-term memory, there are little tricks and you can practice, and if you make the effort, like quite often I think names don't stick with me because someone tells you the name and I'm not really listening. I'm just thinking, okay, here's someone new and now I have to say something.
I'm saying. Yeah.
So I think if you take the moment and actually listen to the person's name, and then they always say, if you say it back, nice to meet you, Jake. And then it'll stick.
Try that. And does it work for you?
I don't know. I've never tried it.
Oh, I've tried it. It doesn't work. Or I've heard the thing where you picture their name And then you do something silly to it. Like you cover it in like glue and throw confetti on it and then blow it up.
I don't have time
for
that.
So like you'll remember.
Who has time for these things? What are you doing with
it's just a practice, you know?
Yeah, I know. I was like, what are you doing? Why did you go? Where did you go? You kind of zoned out. Your eyes went blank. Oh, I was taking the person's name and covering it in glue and throwing confetti on it in my mind's eye. Yeah. I don't have time for that. But, you know, I feel as though short-term memory is something I could practice and maybe get better at. The game of memory I was never that good at when you would flip the cards over.
Oh, yeah.
When you had the match. Oh, here it is. Uh-huh. There's that. I for whatever reason.
Two bananas?
Yeah, in the moment, I feel as though maybe I'm taking in too much or I'm thinking too much and I'm just too distracted. Mm-hmm. Also, those things seem trivial to me, so I don't dedicate the look, when we talk about this, there's a big difference between long-term and short-term memory. And, you know, even if I didn't feel as though it was trivial, I was like, this is important. It doesn't necessarily mean it'll be filed away forever. But I think because there's a distinction I've drawn, it's like, yeah, who cares? This is a fleeting moment. And the energy goes into, it's not even energy. See, it's maybe pointless to try to figure out how and why I store memories and keep memories the way I do. The fact is that I do. And I guess
I think you hit on it before. You said that you think it's because you need to mark the passage of time so that you can feel in control of it, probably.
Well, that's not quite that. I don't think it's only that. I do, I guess I'm somewhat serious in the way I approach life, even if I joke around and don't think things matter that much, because I think big picture, nothing matters. It's all kind of ridiculous, and it is one big joke. But within that, it's like, okay, but things can have meaning, and there are moments in life that do shape who you are and do impact things, or things that are just enjoyable, and that was a nice time, and that was something that meant something to me, and I've always been, you know, that's sentimental. I guess you can tie that to my need for being sentimental, but I think
romantic more than, I mean, sentimental, but I think romantic.
Yeah, I mean, that is surely a part of it, which people find to be shocking, I guess, for whatever reason.
Well, because you are cynical, but also romantic, which doesn't seem to be in the same human, you know?
Well, the two can surely coexist. The reason I'm cynical is maybe because other people aren't romantic. They claim they are. They're romantic in the most generic fucking ways possible. And I saw this on TV. I will do this now because a commercial told me to do this. So, yeah, that's why I'm cynical.
Well, I agree with you, but that's also judgmental.
Yeah, fine. So be it. But to explain how the two can exist. But yeah, fine. Romantic. And I'm looking at life through that lens, and I'm wanting to have these moments. And I'm not trying to force them or seek them out. So when they do pop up, I will take note of them, and then they get stored in my brain.
Yeah.
They get locked away. And
maybe you become like hyper aware because you remember specifics about it that don't really have meaning.
Like what?
Well, like you said, like what someone was eating or what they were wearing.
That's all part of it. That's all part of the thing. And to be whisked back to that moment, I think those are important details to keep in mind. You reconstruct the moment in your brain. I paused because of this siren. I don't know if you can hear this.
I can, just a little bit.
Yeah, come on, let the thing through. I know what it is.
Do you live near another fire station?
No, that's probably, who knows what that one is, but I know it's a busy street and the car, the police car, whatever the hell it is, can't get through. And so it's just doing its siren and throwing me off in what I was trying to say. But, you know, I'm curious and interested, if you don't have these kind of memories, like, what do you think about? Like, that's not even the right question. Not what you think about, but when you view your past, what is there? What's filling that space in your brain?
I mean, I can remember little glimpses of things from my childhood. But as far as like my...
Does it mean anything to you? Glimpses, but does it mean anything? Do you feel anything?
No, it's just like little snapshots. I mean, there were times I remember some things that were sad moments. Or like moments when I was in trouble. I feel like most of them are ones when I was in trouble.
Because you hate being in trouble. You can't, there's a inability.
Well, it's not about being in trouble. It's about someone being mad at me.
Yes. But that's when you're in trouble, someone's usually angry with you.
Yeah.
I mean, we can get back to that specifically. I think overall, some of the earliest memories I have are things that were not all terrible, but maybe a bit frightening. I remember my dad had an electric typewriter and I pulled the socket or the plug out of the socket a bit, but it was still plugged in and I dropped a coin in there for whatever reason. And it blew the fuse, but the coin went flying out and some sparks flew because the coin was in there between the two prongs and created a different path for the electricity to travel. And that sticks out in my mind. I'm like, what just happened? I had zero clue. And it was kind of scary. I was also left alone. And I remember going to find my parents and it didn't mean anything to me at the time, but they were in the shower together. So they had left me alone. Probably thinking too, it's like, it'll be fine, but just for a few minutes, it'll be fine. Oh no.
They can't even try and get it on in the shower without Greg trying to electrocute himself.
He likes that typewriter. Just give him the typewriter. Let him smash away at the keys. But outside of that, I remember burning my hand on the stove. I remember my mom said fire to the kitchen. I remember choking. I remember being stung by a bee. That's not to say that there aren't good memories, but I think those are the easiest memories to start to form and the things that stick.
Yeah, I guess so.
In your mind, because there are lessons attached to them of some sort and things you carry with you. It's like, okay, don't touch the stove again. So maybe that's why they get implanted.
Right, because that's a survival.
But I also, at the same time, I think about going to the golf course and sledding in the snow when we lived in Newburg, New York, and like a nice memory with my dad. So they're nice things too. I remember for whatever reason, the squishy toilet seat at the rich people's house behind the house we lived in. These were our landlords when I was a kid at that house in New York. And they lived in this mansion that was kind of set off behind our small house. And going there, they had one of those squishy toilet seats. And that I remember, the clear as day, I remember it was pink in color and I was poking it. I was like, what?
I was going to guess that it was pink or like a light green, that like light green that things were back then.
Yeah. So
I have moments like that. I mean, I think it's just more like I just don't think about them very often. But if I sit and really try to like relax and open up my mind, I mean, you're triggering things. Like, I remember also I played with my nightlight and I don't remember the rest of it because my parents told this part of the story. I don't remember, but I do remember playing with that nightlight and I put my finger in there and it zapped me. And my parents came up because I was crying and they were like, what happened? I was like, because I got electrocuted. But the first things that come up are like, you know, my dad trying to light a fire and cussing because like it wouldn't start. And I was telling him he shouldn't say that. And he was like, then go away, you know?
Yes.
Or being in trouble from my uncle because I was like leaning on his car and he didn't want me to do that. And he yelled at me for it. Or.
So you being in trouble, people not being happy with you.
Oh, I choked myself once. I was at my grandma's house and her upstairs toilet was clogged and like was flooding or whatever. And I was downstairs playing with, you know, those like exercise things that have the springs in the middle and you like pull them across to like build up your chest or something.
Yes.
So I was playing with that. I was like putting one, at least that's what I think it was. I was putting one on one doorknob in the hallway and I was putting the other side on the other side and I was like wrapping myself up in it. Like, cause I was being Princess Leia and like sexy child play. And I like wrapped it around my neck and I was choking and I was upset and they helped me. They like I think they gave me a brown, like a big sugar cube. My grandmom had like this big chunk of brown sugar that she gave me. And I thought it was awesome.
To make you feel, here, hush. Shh, shh, shh. Everything's all right. Here's a chunk of brown sugar.
But here's like a distraction.
No, I know. I figured you were okay. If you weren't okay, I don't think they would have just, she's not breathing. I give her brown sugar.
Yeah, she'll be fine.
That's what my mom used to do. I got kicked by a horse in the head and they gave me brown sugar and it came back too. It's the solution for all. I mean, these
old wives tale.
Forming these memories makes sense because they're attached to moments that made you feel a certain way. Mostly, mm-hmm. you know, strong emotions, fear, and the anxiety and stress.
Uncomfortable.
Going along with someone being mad at you. So I still, for whatever reason, have a hard time. And I guess with you, I always have what you take away from events in your life. Because you have to be in the moment first to realize, okay, when you're choking, I know you're not thinking, this is something I'm going to turn into a memory. And I'm not saying that that's what
well,
I did.
Well, as a kid too. I mean, I think more of an adult. Because as I've gotten older, I think I wasn't, what did you say? You have to be present or you have to be in the moment? I don't think I was.
Which, it's just very hard for me to grasp how you were existing.
I mean, I feel like a lot of times I was almost like watching myself, you know, and saying like, oh, this is, you're doing the thing that people do. You're doing that instead of me and my body experiencing it. And I think is like, I saw a TikTok. I'm sorry. It's always TikTok, but I saw a TikTok where a guy was saying the reason why he went to therapy was because, he was a good person, but he wasn't a great person. He said, I have great parents. I'm a great son. I'm a great husband. I'm a great father. I'm a great neighbor. I'm all these things. But I want to be, I'm sorry. He said good. I want to be great. And the therapist said that like, that's all you with other people. What about you for yourself? You know, like for him. And I feel like this is me too. Like there wasn't a me at the end of it.
Yeah, because
you know, there wasn't the central person, me, and then, offshoots of those relationships.
Yeah, you viewing yourself from a different perspective. It sounds like, you know, you're in the audience watching yourself perform. So,
right.
So, I mean, it seems.
And so I wasn't really experiencing things like I thought I was.
It seems simple enough. It's you were putting on a show. Everything was a show, and that's why you felt that
for
way.
For me. Yes. For myself.
Well, for other people. You were the one watching it. The real you was watching this person that wasn't you, but looked like you, put on this show. And maybe that's why you never felt connected to these moments, because they weren't actually what you would be doing. So it is interesting. So the memories aren't even...
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, what are we going to say?
Well, it doesn't mean that I didn't experience them, but I just don't think they like stuck, you know, or I don't think I experienced them the way I could now.
And you were a jellyfish just kind of floating, it seems like. And whatever came to you, like, okay. Remember that time that fish got stuck in my tentacles and I ate it?
Not really.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess I didn't actively pursue that fish, but it just came to my tentacles and I ate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that exciting when the fish comes to you and just by you existing.
Well, I mean, I pursued things. I did things. Up.
I know.
I mean, I didn't just like wait for things to happen to me. I mean, I did do things and you can't exist the way I'm talking like 24/7. But I do think that something would happen that you would really take note of, if I were in that situation, I would experience it in the moment, but it wouldn't make as much of an impact on me, or I wouldn't really be able to take it in and have it live in my brain the same that I would now, or the same that you would have in that same moment.
Yeah, and maybe I'm a memory hoarder also, same way I could possibly be a physical hoarder.
Yeah.
Hoards objects. I don't.
Yeah, because if you don't, if you if you don't hold on to those things, then they'll go away and then they won't have existed.
Well, I mean, that's a philosophical question. Do they exist if you don't remember them at that point? Who cares if they existed? They don't anymore. It doesn't matter if it happened. If you have no recollection of it, then it may as well not have happened. I do firmly believe that. And, you know, that's one of the things that's a real fear when people grow older and get dementia or Alzheimer's or something where they can't remember things. It's like, okay, you thinking of me in that spot. It's like the life lived. What did it mean? But once you're dead, I guess none of it means anything because you're not there to remember it anymore. And I don't fully believe that. It does mean things. See, it's all very complex. As I said before, the big picture, if you were to ask me, I'd say it means nothing because we don't mean anything because we're on this insignificant planet. Well, it's a significant planet and the fact that it exists and can house life the way it does. But overall, it's like none of it means anything. It doesn't matter. But then you drill down to, yes, it does mean something. We are here to notice things and experience things, which, I mean, if we're tying this into memory, there's this idea, you know, memory isn't stored in any one specific place in your brain. It's non-localized.
Mm-hmm.
It exists everywhere. And that's why you can remove pieces of people's brains and they can still have their memories. I'm not saying that it doesn't have an effect. You know, if you don't have full brain function, then it can surely affect that. But there's not just one spot. It's like memories are stored there. They're scattered about. And there's an idea that the information of memories, which are consolidated by sleep. Sleep is important to consolidate your memories. And you get these weird dreams. That's part of that.
Okay.
If you don't sleep well, you don't remember as well. But the information stored, like, the information on a holographic piece of film, which I find to be interesting, that just even holographic film, if you had, a piece of holographic film that had an apple on it, and you shot a laser through it to project the apple, and then you broke that film into two pieces, and you shot the laser through part of, like, the one half that you broke off.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get half the apple. You get the full image still. So the full image is, the information of that image is stored about in many different places in that piece of holographic film. So you could conceivably break it into a million pieces, and as long as it was big enough to shoot the laser through, you'd still have the full image of the apple. And the idea is that memories are stored similarly. So,
well, that makes sense because you can hear something and it will trigger a memory. You can smell something, it will trigger a memory. You can.
There's also the idea that the universe exists the same way. There's a theory, the holographic theory, that all the information in the universe exists everywhere at once until there is something there to observe it. And then it becomes localized.
Is that Schrodinger's cat?
Yeah, it is. It's tied to that. All the different outcomes exist. I mean, I'm not going that deep into it. Like, everything that can happen, has happened, is happening. This is just strictly information. This is just everything in the universe exists everywhere at once until it's observed. And then, yes, there's an outcome like Schrodinger's cat. And it's like, okay, now you've set it into motion, and now this is the outcome of it. So when I say that we're insignificant, maybe, you know, the fact that we are here to notice these things is the only reason these things exist in the first place, that they wouldn't exist without us. And in that case, I say that, you know, we're pretty important in that process.
Yeah.
So I don't
know. That's interesting.
I don't mean to dismiss things by saying, you know, once you're gone, if you're not there, but you get into this philosophy where what matters and when, and if you can't remember things, does it even matter if they happened in the first place? And I guess, you know, memory to me is an encyclopedia. It's a reference point. No one else can actually access my memories, but I like the idea of them being there as this volume that someone could go into and search and be like, oh, look at these things that happened. That's interesting. And I don't think I did it on purpose again, but that's kind of the reason I place the significance I do on the fact that I remember events clearly and have the weird peripheral details to go along with it, because it helps create the whole picture. You're painting the whole picture. You can tell someone something happened. Fine, great. If you paint the picture for them, you can kind of transport them there with you.
That's true. Yeah, I wish I could do that more with my memories.
And again, though, people process these things differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it is tied to, I don't want to say emotion, but how much that matters to you. Some people it doesn't matter much, I guess. I'm just curious as to what people find important in life. And for a cynical person, I know. The fact that I romanticize all this shit and want to have recollection of it. Because without it, I don't know what the hell's the point. That's ultimately what I am getting at with all this rambling is what's the point? If you don't have the memories of the thing and you're not enjoying the experience.
Yeah, but you still in that moment experienced it. And even if you don't recall it, it still happened to you.
That's true. And memories are also modified, which is interesting. I have a friend who hijacks memories and inserts herself into memories, or if she were there in the moment, completely changes what actually happened. And for the longest time, I thought that she was doing it for show, exaggerating for effect. And at some point, I came to realize that no, she actually believes this. How that process plays out, how she gets to that point, I don't know. One of the things that she stole was my friend and I, Christy, in college. We were drinking Wild Turkey, and it was disgusting. And I said, is there a way we can block this taste? And we decided to coat our mouths in peanut butter, thinking, oh, there's peanut butter on our tongue, so therefore we're not going to be able to taste anything. We'll block the taste buds. It doesn't work. I'll tell you that. It doesn't work. And then the Wild Turkey just gets stuck in your mouth. And my friend Courtney has claimed that she was there for that, and she was not. Surely 100% not there. And maybe at first she liked the story and wanted to be, but she really believes it at this point. It's not,
wow.
Even, it's not even her sticking with it, thinking it's funny. I think that she honestly believes that she was there for that. And if she's listening to
that's really interesting.
So, you know, it's powerful. How much can we trust our own memories?
That too. Yeah. That's what I was saying in the beginning, that people will experience something together and then questioned about it, and they'll have totally different answers. Or like, there was this woman, I don't mean to bring this up, but she was like being raped and she was freaking out at first, and then she calmed herself down and like studied him so that she could identify him later. And then she went in to like one of those things, you know, like the lineups, and she was able to spot this person who she thought was the person that did it, but he was innocent. Because later it came out, like through DNA evidence or whatever, that it was actually this other person. But she purposefully tried her best to pay attention to specific details and still got it wrong.
Well, it's obviously a very traumatic event. And I don't, you know, what is going on in your brain? Because that in itself is throwing you into a panic. And it's hard for me to speak to it. I don't know.
Well, that's not the point. I mean, the point is, though, that even when you do try, you're still going to probably get things wrong.
Yes, but my point with that is, you know, there's also this horrific thing happening to you.
Right.
So while you're trying to, in the moment, it's going to have enough. I know what you're saying, and I'm just trying to.
I know what you're saying, too.
I'm trying to take into account how you're processing things when something like that is happening to you.
Or another example, not exactly the same, but like when your parents will show you a picture of something that, you know, with a story attached, that's a memory for them. I think I would do this where I would think that the memory is now mine and that I remember that too, when it probably was just told to me and I don't truly remember it.
Can you explain that anymore? I don't.
Like if my parents told me a story about something that I did in the past, like some little memory for them, I don't explicitly remember it, but them telling me about it creates like a false memory for me. And I'll I'll feel like that's now a memory when it really isn't. I don't remember it.
So you just adopt it. I mean, that is a thing.
Yeah, like you're saying, like your friend kind of.
People can lie to themselves to the point where they believe things. Mm-hmm. You know, you tell yourself something happened over and over and over, and yeah, then you buy into it. And that is tie into what I was saying about Courtney. But it, you know, it's prone to manipulation for sure. And people will spin things and romanticize things a bit more than maybe the way they actually played out. And you're talking about people having different memories of the same event. That's because, you know, people do perceive things differently also. So it all is dependent on you and your personality.
Ooh, yeah. Like if someone comes to you and says like, if you were with them when something happened, like some manager was talking to them in like a stern way or whatever, and then they come back and they say like, this person was screaming at me. You're like, wait.
Yeah, I think some of that too is maybe they buy into it, but I think some of that is to present themselves as the good person who was the victim and I didn't deserve any of this. And like, yeah, sometimes you did. But yes, I think as you repeat that story and you tell people that story over and over, and that's a detail that you probably made up or exaggerated at first, you know, you buy into it also, just like the wild turkey. But that's still when you're not even there in the moment, that's the one.
Why does she do that?
I don't know.
That's crazy. Not crazy, like nuts. Like, that's really interesting.
I don't know. But, you know, it's a flawed system, and you know, the whole Mandela effect that people love.
Oh, man, I love the Mandela effect.
They love to play into that and talk about that. And
yeah,
I get it. It is strange. And with the people always talk about the Bernstein Bears being the main one, the spelling of Bernstein Bears.
Why are you saying it Bernstein?
Because that's the improper spelling.
Because I feel like it was always said Berenstein Bears.
Okay, maybe there's an extra syllable, but you know, people think it's spelled with an S-T-E-I-N, and it was spelled S-T-A-I-N.
Berenstein Bears. Yeah,
the Baron. And so I was just saying Bern. I was dropping an E, but my point remains. The one that really gets me is the fucking Fruit of the Loom. I swear to God that there was a cornucopia attached to the logo for the Loom. Apparently it was never there.
Oh, there's not.
No. It was never there. The fruit was never spilling out of the cornucopia.
It's not?
No.
Oh, wow.
That's the one that definitely...
I love that one.
Definitely got me. I'm like, what the fuck? Where did that come from? Or, you know, people talk about the Monopoly guy and the monocle. He doesn't have a monocle. People think he does. But that one's not as weird to me. You don't really pay attention. And a guy who looks like that with a fucking top hat and tuxedo usually does, you know, with the white mustache, probably does have a monocle.
And I feel like that and like the peanut guy,
he
wears a monocle.
Yeah. I mean, there are things in life. And a cornucopia for Fruit of the Loom, I guess you've just seen food spilling out of it. So you see the fruit and it makes sense that you would make that connection.
No, I feel like I can see it.
It's not real.
It's not real.
No.
Your brain really does fill in a lot of blanks as far as memories are concerned, too.
It does. I mean, it the same way information digitally is stored when you have, you know, a WAV file or an MP3. There's more actual information in the WAV file. The MP3, you drop some of the information and the gaps are filled in. And it's a way to save space, even though apparently your brain has a shitload of space. You could hold something, what was it? Something petabyte. I don't even know what petabytes are.
Is that like 1,000?
The equivalent. You could store the equivalent of 3 million hours of TV shows or 4,256 gigabyte iPhones, which is the largest iPhone. So the capacity is there, but you know, there is so much stuff you can't keep all the details. And even as a kid, it's weird that you forget childhood memories, especially really young. I've always attributed that to language and also just understanding your feelings. When you're just kind of existing, when I think of you thinking or having feelings, memories of the past, you're like a baby. It's like if you can't identify things, like I wasn't recognizing I was feeling something in the moment as a kid and I had no language to tie anything to. So therefore not having memories makes sense to me.
I mean, I remember playing with my friends. I remember, you know, my friend Anna's horses. She had like these little horse figurines that I loved to play with. I remember some things.
It sounds like a nice moment. You playing with your friend, playing with the horses.
Yeah, we always played horses. She always had horses.
It's a nice time of your life.
Yeah.
But as a kid, you apparently start to lose childhood memory. So it starts pretty early. It's not when you get older. So,
it makes sense when you're, I mean, I know you're saying like you attribute not being able to remember things when you're real little to language. And I'm sure that's part of it, but don't you think it's part of like just brain development? You know what I mean? Like making those connecting neurons communicating all together.
Sure. I can't even claim to speak to it confidently, but yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of play.
Yeah.
And a developing brain that's changing constantly. I bet that's
like little kids' brains are not as like wrinkled. You know what I mean? Like they don't have as many like lines in them. I think as you get older, you get more and more.
Yeah.
I think, right?
They're those stupid smooth brain apes buying the AMC stock. Mm-hmm. I'm just a dumb smooth brained ape. I have no wrinkles. I don't know a thing. I mean, we can wrap it up. I was looking at more of these Mandela effect things. Some of these are dumb.
Ooh, yeah. What you got?
Some of these are Skechers. How do you spell Skechers? No one's ever looked at how they spelled Skechers, and you would think of how you would spell Skechers, like the sketch. And this one's like, oh, doesn't it blow your mind that it's not Sketchers? It's Skech. No, it doesn't blow my mind. Something I never paid attention to.
Okay. But maybe some people did, and so it freaks them out.
Yeah, but that one, there's the word sketch, and you think about how you spell it, and you're not paying that much attention. Pikachu's tail, what does it look like?
It's yellow and squiggly. It like a lightning bolt, and it has a brown spot at the end.
Nope, there's no spot at the end.
Yes, there is.
Well, near the connection, near the butt, but not at the end.
I thought it was at the end. Is that what people think?
Yeah, but see, some of these, I guess that's like the Fruit of the Loom thing. You've seen Pikachu if you're into Pokemon quite a bit. I guess it's because Pikachu has black spots at the top of her? What is Pikachu?
I'm not sure. I think it's voiced by a woman.
On top of its ears. And it doesn't have the black spot at the end of its tail. People thought it did. Okay.
Pika.
Oscar spellings to me are weird ones because Oscar Mayer, for example, I never really paid attention to Oscar Mayer and the way it's spelled.
Oh, why not? Because there's that whole song.
Okay. But how would you spell Mayer?
My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-E-A-R. My baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R.
It's M-E-Y-E-R.
M-E-Y-E-R.
So people have been singing the song incorrectly, I guess, for a very long time. Wait, no.
I love to eat it every day.
Sorry. You're right. It's M-A-Y-E-R, but people think it's M-E-Y-E-R. I was backwards on that one.
Oh. Because Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A. That's the only reason why I know how to spell baloney.
Okay, so that one shouldn't be wrong because there is the song attached.
Yeah, it shouldn't be wrong.
But I guess a lot of people think that it's M-E-Y-E-R when it's M-A-Y-E-R. But you bring up the good point.
Spelling is hard, though. That's like you said, that's a hard one to... I feel like that's not really a Mandela effect. That's just people not knowing how something's spelled.
Exactly. Or like Looney Tunes, the cartoon.
Uh-huh.
People are blown away that it's T-U-N-E-S. That's weird because you think cartoons, so it should be T-O-O-N-S. But to me, that's not a Mandela. That's just you're applying logic and you're just not really paying attention. And you think these are cartoons. They're Looney Tunes. And then you find out it's T-U-N-E-S. And then what?
Why is it T-U-N-E-S?
It's I don't know. Was there ever a tie to music? Of some sort. I can't speak to that one as to why.
Who wrote that? And then it goes quiet. And then everybody comes back in.
You should look up who wrote it. That'll be the next episode. Who wrote the themes for many of our favorites? But anyway, I don't
know. They're tiny. They're toony.
That's what
They're
I have.
They're all a little loony.
That's what I have.
Okay.
Now you're just getting into memories. Your favorite.
They're tiny toon adventures. Come enjoy the fun. Do, 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 do. And now the song is done. That's fucked up is that I have trouble remembering parts of my life, but I can sing every word to the Hey Dude, theme song or, Animaniacs.
Well, these were prominent parts of our lives. These were things
DuckTales,
that we watched.
Tailspin.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't think it's that crazy that you can recite it, but you know, for whatever reason, I know what you're saying is you have an ability to remember this probably more than other people, the actual full lyrics.
There's a little town and a little, oh, it's a little, oh, now I've already messed it up.
Oh, God, end it.
Oh, I messed it up. All right, thanks, everybody. I hope you remember this episode forever. like and subscribe, rate and review, tell your friends about the show. And please support our sponsor, HoffandPepper.com. You can use our code ONETOPIC15 and get 15% off some really cool hot sauce. It's made in Chattanooga. Oh my God, and it's going everywhere. If you ever see it out in the wild, take a picture and send it to us because I think it's really cool. It's at Whole Foods. It's at, weirdly, it's at Hobby Lobby. Isn't that weird?
Yes.
Hobby Lobby's like making their own little food area, like a world market or something. Anyway, enjoy. Go do that. And that's all. Thanks, guys. Bye.